Thank you very much, Elizabeth. I'd like you to take your Bibles with me, if you would, please, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to read to you verses 17 down through 19 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And in this text, you'll note that what the apostle's doing is he's getting ready to talk to the church in Corinth about the Lord's Supper, taking communion. And in preparation to talking to them about that, he's going to talk to them about unity. He's going to talk to them about heresy, things that kind of undermine and tear a church apart from within. He's going to address that before he talks to them about coming and partaking of the Lord's Supper, which brings us to a place of reflection and contemplation, considering the sacrifice that Christ paid, breaking his broken body, his shed blood for our sins. My purpose this morning in taking you to this text is kind of a continuation of from the very beginning of the year. The very first Sunday of this new year, I started out preaching and teaching about the pastor's responsibility, what I need to do as a pastor to go ahead and minister to our congregation in so many different varied ways. And then since that, each Sunday, I've been talking about things that we do together, not just my role, but all of us together. One of those things is we work on maintaining unity within a congregation, within a church family. So simply my title this morning is Reaching for Unity. It's something that we should all strive towards. Reaching for unity. Unity in praying for one another. Unity in serving Christ together. Unity in our belief. Unity in our desire to honor and glorify God as a church family. In order to fully understand the value of unity, we're also going to look at a verse that helps us to understand the harm or destruction that comes with division. Division tears apart any family, doesn't it? Doesn't matter whether it's the family or the nation. We are right now such a divided nation. It's a sad thing to see in my lifetime, such a division from coast to coast among our nation. So when we start talking about division and unity, it's not just about the church. It's about every part of our lives. For years, I worked in machining. I started when I was 16 years old. It's how I paid my way through college. It's how I supported our family in the early years of ministry by vocational. I worked as a toolmaker in a machine shop right before I moved here in Kansas City. But even in the employee-employer world, I can remember in the shop guys getting fired for stirring disunity in the shop. Now that maybe would be shocking today, I don't know, but it wasn't then. If you weren't a team player, they found a way to move you on. And so when we start talking about division and unity, I want you to understand we are really looking at a larger picture than just the church. We are looking at our families, our communities, yes, our church, but even our nation. So listen as I read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to read to you verses 17, 18, and 19. It says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye came together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you." So Paul writes to this church in Corinth and he says, listen, I have heard not good things. I've heard that there are divisions among you. And certainly the Bible talks about division. Mark chapter 3 verses 24 and 25. Listen to what it says. "If a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand." So when the apostle writes to the church in Corinth, he's talking about a universal truth. whether it's in the home or whether in the kingdom or whether in the church. He's saying to the church in Corinth, he says, this that I hear is not good. I hear that there be division, disunity within the congregation in Corinth. And he wants to address that. And the biggest reason he wants to address that is because disunity or division is like a friction. It just rubs and grinds and hurts all the time until it becomes almost crippling. And so he's going to address it in the church in Corinth. And this morning I want us to understand that this applies to all of our lives. In your home, if your home is full of division and disunity, if there's constant contention and all the time that grinding and rubbing and chafing, then what happens in a home is it just the fabric of it wears out and comes apart. Instead, you want the fluidity of unity. And that's what we want in the church as well. We not only want it in our family and in our church, we really want it in our nation as well. Something we should all be praying for. So I want you to see with me, we're going to look at a number of verses, and I want you to see that unity is the lubricant for a smooth-running church, smooth-running family, smooth-running community, even a smooth-running nation. Unity is something to be desired. First of all, I want you to see that in Psalms 133, verse 1, it teaches us that unity is something that is good and pleasant. The verse says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. God straight up makes the statement to all of us through His Word. He says, I want you to understand that unity is good and pleasant. It's a positive thing. You know, I think if we didn't have the Bible to tell us that, if all we ever had was the news to talk about unity or disunity, we'd think that there is no such thing as unity. All we ever hear about is contention and conflict, problems, people demonizing other people and trying to make themselves look like amazing individuals. And what you have to look at is God says, you know what, we come together cooperatively. When I do a wedding and that bride comes down the aisle, you know, the groom, he's always standing right here. And I tell him he has one job. Look down the aisle. Admire the most beautiful. That's his bride. I mean, man, if he's not in love the day he's standing there looking down that aisle, he is in trouble, isn't he? So I tell him, his whole job is to look down here and think to himself, this is the most beautiful woman. It's just amazing. So they just stand there and they look down there. And as she comes down through the aisle, and the whole congregation stands in unity. They look and they admire the bride as she comes up, and she comes up on the platform. And they come together in unity, don't they? I mean, truly, I've never had a wedding through all the years of marrying folks. I've never had it happen where somebody looks and says, stop, wait. No, I don't agree with that part of the vows. Or no, I can't say I do right now. I need another week. By the time they come right here, I tell them, if there's going to be a problem, you tell me ahead of time. Because we'll resolve it. Yeah, I can send folks home. We don't have to wait till you're standing right here. They need to be in unity. Amen? So if our family starts that way, shouldn't it be that we work at and foster and encourage that all the time at home? We work towards unity because division is not good, but unity is good and pleasant in our home, in our church, in our community, even in our nation. We want to understand that the Bible is telling us, listen, it is good and pleasant to embrace and enjoy unity. But I also want you to see that in Romans chapter 15, verses 5 and 6, it tells us that unity glorifies God. You see, it truly is that lubricant that creates smooth running relationships. So we find here, Romans 15, 5 and 6, it says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one towards another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we look into this scripture in Romans chapter 15, we find that he tells us that unity glorifies or exalts God. So in your home, you might think to yourself, well, how can we have a godly home? God, how can we have a home, a family that honors and glorifies God? By working on being unified as a husband and wife. One of the worst things my kids could do when they were growing up, and of course they're grown up, they have kids of their own now, but when they were little, I told them, and Sandra Jo, we were a team in this, we would tell them, don't ever come to Dad, get one answer, and then go to Mom and look for another answer. They will be in the biggest trouble for doing that. That just can't fly. They may think when they're really little that somehow if I get one to say okay when I said no, that somehow that's going to come out okay. It's going to come out worse. Because you don't try to create disunity. You recognize and respect unity among husbands and wives, moms and dads. And Mom and Dad, I'm telling you right now, if you don't have a unified front at home, then you are in a losing battle with raising your kids. You want to be a team. Pull together. It is good. And it glorifies God. When you're on the same page working together to raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Well, the same thing in the church. When we come together and we serve God, we want to be like a yoke of oxen pulling together in unity, exalting and glorifying God in all that we do. That should be our heart's desire. We should pray for God to help us in every way to be of one mind, of one mouth, glorifying Him in unity as given to us here in Romans chapter 15. But not only that, unity brings clarity to our message. Our message of Jesus Christ. Our message of that Christ is the hope for the world. That Jesus Christ is the answer for all the needs, the desperation that is taking place in the world today. I want you to listen to 1 Corinthians 1:10. It says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." So he tells us here, he says, your message, the message of the believer, needs to be clear that we speak the same thing. We're speaking the same speak, perfectly joined together, of the same mind, with the same judgment. And this really does transfer through all relationships. When we come together as a church, when you come together as a family, I wish even us as a nation that we had a unified message of who we are. Sandra Jo and I were talking just the other day about, you know, the whole dynamic of the division in our nation. And we were reflecting back not too long ago. Some of the leaders in our nation had made the statement that they had been ashamed of America. And Sandy and I looked at each other and we were talking about this. We said, I just don't understand leaders of the nation saying they're ashamed of the nation that's given them an opportunity to be a leader. You know, there's always something to improve and work on, but to be ashamed is a whole nother realm. It's a whole nother place. You and I, we should be unified in who we are and who we want to be. Of course, there's some rough edges that need to be sanded, and of course, there needs to be adjustments. Whether it's the nation or our family at home, we should still strive to honor that family. We should still strive to absolutely root for that family. And if there's any family on earth that we should be number one for, it should be our family, our church, our community, our nation. And so when you look at this text, he says to us, he says, listen, it clarifies our message of who we are as Christians when we are speaking the same thing. When we are perfectly joined together, same in mind and in judgment, in relationship to the things of the gospel. So these principles, they weave through all aspects of our life. You know, I mentioned how years ago I worked in machine shops from the time I was 16 until I was 32 years old. I worked either full-time or part-time. Started out as just a machine operator, ended up as a tool maker. But one thing was for sure, every place I ever worked, we had to be unified in purpose. Some shops I worked in were small, where it was just the owner and myself. Others were large plants where they had hundreds of employees. But we had to be unified in purpose. When we got there, I had one responsibility, and that was to make perfect, as close to perfect product, so that they, in return, could sell a perfect product for a profit. Now, I didn't kid myself. I wasn't there so that they could give me a good time. It wasn't like when I pulled up for work, they came out and they're tossing flowers in front of my car. Oh, we're so glad you came today. That wasn't going on. One of the shops I worked in, they had cameras. Cameras that were on every one of us machinists. And if we goofed around, they'd call us in. Hey, what's going along? You took 3 restroom breaks today. You okay? Yeah, I'm all right. Just needed to go to the restroom 3 times. Well, let's see if we can't cut it back a little. You know, whatever. But they were watching. They paid very, very well. And had excellent benefits. I could care whether they watched me on a camera. Because I had one purpose when I got there. I would open my toolbox. I'd get my machine ready. And whatever I was making for them that day, I did my dead level best. That's a unified purpose. And every guy in there had the same purpose. Those who didn't found themselves unemployed. You and I, as brothers and sisters in Christ, when we come together to worship, we should be coming with one purpose, single mind. We come here to glorify God. That's why we come. We come to honor Him and worship Him and exalt Him and to lift up His holy name. Secondly, we come for Him to influence and change us, not for us to influence and change Him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But you and I, we fall pretty far short. So we come for God to shape us, to alter us, to mold us, to make us. So when we come to honor Him and to have Him shape us. Now, how do we do that? We do that through preaching, teaching, praying, worshiping. We come by serving. We come with a united purpose to make a difference in the world we live in for the cause of Christ. You know, the Bible tells us that our lives are but a vapor. They appear for a time and then they are gone. We don't have a long time. I was just talking to one of our older folks this week who's pretty homebound now. And life went by so fast. Each of us, we come together in unity to honor Him. And to have Him work in us. Not only is unity good and pleasant. Not only does it glorify God. Not only does it bring clarity to our message as Christians. But it reflects positively on the gospel. You see, it should be that when somebody from the outside looks in, they see unity. Now, a lot of us live in the country. That's kind of the wonderful thing about living in Vermont. We're pretty rural. Not all of us. Some of us live in apartments and things like that. But lots of us live in pretty far-spaced areas. So if you get in an argument with your wife, I'm hoping that the neighbor who lives 3 pastures down the road isn't hearing you. You know what I mean? But maybe you live in close quarters. Maybe, you know, right out the window is the next person's house. Now you're pretty close. So then all of a sudden, your disunity, you get in an argument between you and your spouse. Now you have to learn to tone it down, don't you? Because you know that what you say is going to go from here to there just like that. So you kind of tone it down. I'd like to think you do anyways. Why? Because our disunity is something that reflects on who we are. So if every single day your neighbor hears you screaming and fighting and carrying on, they think to themselves, wow, those people's marriage is on the rocks, don't they? It reflects on your marriage and on your home and on your family. Well, the same thing within a church. Same thing within a community. Same thing within a nation. If constantly everybody's hearing conflict and controversy, constant friction and grinding and division, then it's not long they think to themselves, those guys aren't okay. They're not going to make it. It's not going to be all right. Your family, the way you behave and the unity you express or show really often reflects what's going on in your heart. Same thing in a church. If a church is in a state of disunity and conflict all the time and others look in, then what they see is something that is not well, something that's not healthy. But instead, we want to reflect positively. Philippians chapter 1 verse 27 says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And when he uses that word becometh the gospel of Christ, he's saying it's comely towards the gospel of Christ. It is attractive towards the gospel of Christ. So let our lifestyle be as it reflects positively on the gospel of Christ. That whether I come to see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So the apostle writes under the inspiration of God to the church in Philippi, and he tells them, he says, listen, I should hear that you are well. And that's the way it should be for our families, for our church, yes, our community, even our nation. Nothing makes our enemies happier than to hear of division, conflict. They think to themselves, well, there's no strength there. There's no strength where there's disunity. So you and I, we need to understand that unity really is that lubricant that keeps a family, a church, a community, a nation running smoothly. So that others, when they look in, they see that we are healthy and we are well. And I want to challenge you that if your family is full of disunity, then seek help. Get counseling. Come for biblical counseling. Spend more time together as a family in family devotions and less TV time or whatever it is that's creating division. Maybe, and I know people are going to throw things at me, so I'm going to stand behind the pulpit. Maybe shut off those cell phones, those tablets, the on and on, all those devices. Go. If your house is full of disunity, then come together and work on it. Don't ignore it. It does not work. You cannot ignore it. It's kind of like a piece of machinery. If you're driving your car along the road and all of a sudden you hear some bizarrely strange sound that's grinding and snapping and there's all kinds of destructive noises happening, does anybody know what you should do? Stop. Pull over. I heard somebody say, call Kurt. Call your mechanic. There's something wrong. I hear this grinding, snapping sound. Something's not working right. You don't just keep going and think, oh, it'll get better. It'll get better. It'll be okay. It won't. Well, it's the same thing in your family. If your family is grinding and snapping and it's not well, then you need to step back, stop, reevaluate, come before the Lord, search the Scriptures, seek God in your heart and amongst yourselves. Believe me, your marriage, your family is far more valuable than your car. And I know, sometimes that flies in the face of the society we live in today. You know, well, I can get another wife, but my car. Wow. Man, I love my car. Listen, Nothing will make you any more happy, unhappy. Nothing will make you any more unhappy than to lose your wife or your husband. You might say, no, it'll be a relief. Listen, I have sat down and talked to many a husband and many a wife whose marriage is coming apart. And if there's going to be relief, it's a long ways down the road. There's a lot of heartache. There's a lot of heartache in that journey through the coming apart of a marriage. Far, far better to invest time in reevaluating, re-sparking that love, bringing back the unity that needs to be there. Same thing in a church family. I've pastored here a long time. I know a lot of pastors in a lot of places. And man, when their church starts coming apart, when disunity comes and starts tearing at the edges, it is an extremely difficult thing to stop in reverse. So it's immediately when they see it, they try to stop it. Same thing in a family, same thing in a church. It should be in our nation the same thing. That we stop, step back, reevaluate, get back on track. We want our life as a Christian, in our home or in our church, in our community, in our nation, we want it to reflect positively on the gospel. Also, I want you to see that unity is pre-programmed with a blessing. Now, I chose that purposely because we live in such a tech world today. I want you to get the whole pre-programmed thing. You know, like my cell phone, I don't have my cell phone with me, but Paul has one right here, I know. So, as soon as he reached in his pocket, and as soon as he picked his phone up, that came on right there. That little image. Now, when it was in his pocket, I don't know. You have to be Paul to get it to come on. But there it is. It came back. But he doesn't have to go in every day into this phone and reprogram it to light up when his hand passes over it. It's pre-programmed to do that. It came that way. It was born that way, right? Yeah. First time, he moved it, touched it, whatever, bam, bam, bam.
You broke it.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with yours. But it's pre-programmed to come on like that. My phone at home, I put it on my nightstand at night when I go to bed. And when I reach, even if I reach across, I don't even have to touch it. If I reach across it, somehow it senses it and bing, it comes on. It's pre-programmed to do that. Well, I want you to understand that unity is pre-programmed by God to bring a blessing. Listen to what it says here in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. So he's telling us in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, he's saying, listen, unity brings about, when you look at the screen up here, brings about certain things. It brings about the inheritance of a blessing. When we lay aside the disunity, evil for evil, railing for railing, contrary-wise, or the opposite of that is, we'd be a blessing to somebody. Instead of screaming at them, instead of fighting with them, instead of friction and division, instead, we strive to be a blessing. Knowing that you're called to that. You and I as Christians, we're called to that. Whatever it is that we do for a living, no matter where it is that we are Monday through Friday, it is that you and I should be the bearers of unity. We should be a blessing in the environment that we are in every day. And then when we come home for the weekend and it's family time, or every evening it's family time, we should be bringing home unity. Blessing. Because our unity is pre-programmed, what's it say at the last? To inherit a blessing. So for you and I in our lives, if you want to be a blessing, Be the person who brings about unity, not the person who brings about conflict. If you're always the stirrer of conflict, you are not a blessing. Now, you might think you are, but you're not. Years ago, when I pastored in Kansas, I had a guy in my church who, he came to me one day and he said, "I've decided that I have the gift of prophecy." And I said, "Well, what is your interpretation of the gift of prophecy?" He said, "My gift is to tell people what they're doing wrong." I said, So let me understand this. Your gift is to tell everybody, no matter who they are, when you see them doing something wrong, it's your gift from God to tell them they're doing it wrong. Yes. And I said, "Now, whose gift is it to fix all that damage that you're going to do?" "Well, that's just not my gift. I can't be concerned with." And he actually, he pridefully would tell people everything they did wrong. And I mean, it, believe me, was not a blessing, nor did it bring about unity within their home, their church, or their community. God is not going to give you the gift of correcting every single person you know in your life. But He has told us, every one of us should be bearing forth the attributes of unity. And in return, we will bring about a blessing. Far better to be a blessing than to be a thorn in every single person's flesh that you know. Amen? I mean, would you rather have them look and say, "Oh, hey, look, there's so-and-so." Or would you rather have them say, "Oh, there's so-and-so." God desires that we strive towards unity. Now, sometimes it does require correction in each of our lives. But also with that correction comes instruction, nurturing, encouragement, and help. You can't just be the guy who brings forth, "You're doing it wrong." Working towards unity is something that really brings about fluidity. It brings about fluidity because it's good and pleasant. It glorifies God. It brings clarity to who we are, our message. It also reflects positively on the gospel in our lives. And it is pre-programmed to be a blessing. So you may be a person who says, "Well, I want to be a blessing." Then strive towards unity. Help to bring about unity in your family, your church, your community. Praise the Lord, even in our nation. We need to pray for the fluidity of unity to come back to the United States. Nobody's ever going to agree, but neither do we need to keep throwing sand in each other's eyes. We need to find a way to bring back unity in our homes, maintain unity in our church, and strive towards unity in our nation. If you'd bow your heads with me, I'm not going to have a normal invitation this morning like I normally do. But right where we are, right where we're seated, I'd like every one of us to just take a moment and have silent prayer and just ask God, "God, help me to be a person who brings about unity." Let's take just a moment and pray. Father in heaven, as we come to the end of our service this morning, Lord, I do pray as your Holy Spirit moves within our midst, I pray that it would be you that helps us to see
the value of unity in our homes, in our church, our community, in our nation. Help us to begin right here, right now, to strive towards being of one mind, of one heart, of one mouth, of one effort, unified, that You, Lord, may be glorified. Help us, Lord, to take the pre-programmed blessing that You want us to inherit and help us to spread it, to share it, to be that united voice, that united effort that draws others to righteousness and truth. Help us to start with our homes, Lord. Even today, as our families go home, I pray that You'd help them to step back and look and consider and to really evaluate the state of their family. Help us to be united. We thank You, Lord, that You love us and You want the very best for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much for coming this morning. We are dismissed.